Good morning. The topic for this morning is tell me something good, and I have something good to tell you. On April the 13th at 8 p.m. in a small little place in Katadi called Spanky's, Sophia and Atre, and I think Nick, you're playing too? He might be playing, so you can go at 8 p.m. through to midnight and see them in their other life. Yeah, so I'm going to go. I want to see it. That's wonderful. I'll tell you something good. Last week, we voted into office three new trustees, and I see at least two of them here. There's Vicky Dodson, all three of them. Maxine Wilkinson is right there, and where's Mary Mournette? Won't you please stand so we can appreciate you? Thank you so much. They have stepped into leadership to represent us and to help us keep our center thriving and on target. Thank you for your service. This topic for today, tell me something good. It makes me think of that phrase, the good news, in the Christian tradition. That's what the gospel means, the good news. It refers to, in Christianity, to the message of their teacher, Jesus of Nazareth. So it's a very specific phrase, and it got me to thinking, do we have good news in our New Thought tradition? And you know we do. We definitely have some good news. And it goes like this. There is a creative power in the universe that flows through you all the time that you can use to direct your life more intentionally. Now that certainly was good news for me as a young man when I was growing up in South Africa during the apartheid years, where there were many roadblocks that limited freedom for everybody, including a person's sexuality, a person's race, a person's cultural heritage, a person's language, including the government and international laws and mandatory conscription and corruption and inequality and poverty and religious identity and on and on and on. So when I heard the good news that I could use the creative power of the universe to move my experience of life right in those circumstances, but in a new direction, not by ignoring the intensely negative realities, but instead by shifting my awareness from helplessness to an attitude of powerful, proactive engagement for the good of all, I was thrilled. Because no one in my early religious upbringing had taught me that. No one suggested to me that I could train my awareness to focus more on possibility and less on impossibility. That was new. That was news. Nobody had taught me that I could accept where I was in life, not as a final destination to be stuck in, but as a stepping stone upon which to stand and use my imagination to imagine new pathways and to get excited about the energy that that imagination work generated in me. That was good news. Indeed. And I jumped right into it. I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn how I could shift my awareness by gently asking, what else is possible here in this situation? How I could shift the use of my words by gently considering what would be a kinder, gentler way to say what needs to and wants to be said in this situation. To learn how I could shift the use of my energy through my actions to more productive, healthy, beneficial activities. It was new and it was exciting and it was going well. Except that I would often forget the good news entirely, especially when my mind became flooded by the world's negativity. I would get knocked off of my center, sometimes completely. Has that ever happened to you? And the good news then is just a rumor. For example, there was this time when I was on my way to visit a national park in the California desert. And my friend I was going with was driving us through this exquisite natural beauty. Paradise was outside. Outside the car was extreme beauty. But inside, my mind was a dark moment of turmoil. Because I was using the creative power of mind in a kind of negative, unhelpful way to focus on and obsess on something upsetting. Do you know what I mean? See, here's what happened. Just the day before, I tried to return a faulty piece of electronics to an electronics store that was broken when I opened the packet, and was a very well-known store, and I took it in, and the staff told me that it was my fault and that I had did it, and they wouldn't take it back. And they told me I could shop elsewhere if I wanted to. And I needed that piece of equipment to do my work. Oh, the injustice of the situation. Oh, I was so mad. I was angry, and I was also powerless. I didn't know what I could do, and I was stuck on it, even to the next day. And as we drove into the park, I heard this ding from my smartphone, letting me know that I had yet another email. It was from that electronics store. They were inviting me to share my shopping experience there. And I was delighted. Oh my gosh, I just felt my energy open up with glee at the idea of letting them know exactly how I felt. And immediately I started drafting this email in my head, pouring my disappointment into this imaginary response. I was focused, I was laser, I was intentional. I was going to let them know. In politely yet strongly worded messages, why that employee needed to be fired. Oh, I was using and directing the creative power of mind of the universe, or maybe I should say misusing it, for a very specific purpose. I told myself it was for justice. But really? My response to this imaginary offense was out of proportion to what had happened, to my inconvenience and the wrongness of it. You know, and it was frying my brain. In reality, in the big picture, nothing was on fire. No bombs were falling. Nothing was in the zone of the extreme outrage that my mind was stirring up. And my travel companion eventually got to the location and parked the car, and I felt the car stop, and I fumbled around with the door because I was still in my angry email mode. Have you ever been that focused on something that the rest of the world goes away? Yeah. So then I opened the door, and as I reached my foot out onto the dusty desert floor, I looked down and I noticed it right there, a mouse that must have recently died. Maybe from the heat, maybe from natural causes, maybe from human, I don't know, whatever the reason, there it was. This tender scene. And it interrupted my complaining mind for a moment. And I saw right there before me in the dust was something beautiful with an extraordinary bushy tail right there in its final moment in this world. And I thought to myself how fleeting and tender some moments in life are, and how I might be the only witness to this poignant moment in life. You know, the witness who nearly missed everything because he was fiercely composing a complaining email to spread indignation and retributive harm. This mousy moment changed everything for me. And I remembered the good news. Yeah, I can use my mind to gather in and refocus my attention on what is actually happening right before me versus spreading and exaggerating outrage because I didn't get my way. I can, I have the ability to become aware of and available to what is actually happening right now and take all of its tenderness in and let it open my understanding and let myself respond to it. So I breathed in that moment, right there with the mouse, and I said a blessing for it. You know, and I turned my attention then to this present moment, and I let everything be just as it is and accepted just as it was not. And the moment I did that, it felt as if the whole world breathed a sigh of relief. And then when I stepped off from my walking adventure into the desert, my mind was then tuned into a different wavelength, the wavelength of being available, being aware, being an adventurer, being a discoverer. And because it was, I started to see so much more, a whole new world that just moments ago might have been completely unavailable and invisible to me because of where my mind was. Walking through the desert, I saw all sorts of things. Bees buzzing around in this dry, waterless landscape, like I don't know what dampness they found there to feed on, but to me, they were doing a dance of joy. And then I noticed the snake that could easily have been not noticed, like a statue wrapped around a recently burnt up tree as if it was waiting patiently for the sun to move behind the mountain for some relief from the heat so that it could get to wherever it was going, I imagined. And amazingly, a hummingbird. And then several hummingbirds in the desert with not a blossom in sight, not a sprinkler anywhere, no hanging nectar feeder for miles. And that's not all. At the curve in this dry riverbed we were walking on, there was a pond. Just this big, like very small, like the result of some slow trickle of water from somewhere, maybe an underground source, and over time accumulated enough water to just be about a foot deep. And I looked into it, and there at the bottom, quite still, were these two bugs. And now and then, one would quickly shoot to the surface, grab some air, and then rush back down to what I assumed was their mate. And I marveled about how it could be that in this deep and thirsty desert, in a here today, gone tomorrow pool, these two could find each other and fall in love and do what they needed to do to secure their DNA line and live in the short and complicated tender time that was available to them. And it seemed so miraculous and so fragile and so beautiful and so inspiring. And I wondered to myself in that moment, how many simply amazing things have I missed in my life when I have stepped out of and forgotten or abandoned the good news that there is a power in the universe that I can use to direct my awareness to that which is worthy. And I remember very clearly that moment in the desert developing an affirmation to say to myself, and I did, I said to myself silently, today I will use the creative power within me to direct my awareness to that which is meaningful and important and inspiring. And then I was so excited about that, I said out loud, there is a creative power in the universe that is the source of my entire being, and I am part of it. Oh, and then I was on a roll. I said, there is that within me which is powerful and creative and responsive. Oh, that day in the desert really got me thinking about some of the things that caused me to stray from the good news. And what can I do to get back to the center of it, of my life? For example, number one, like in the desert, when I become too tightly attached to how things should be. And whether I'm right or wrong in my assessment, the problem is that obsessive focus on how things are not. And then in that moment, how the creative use of my mind wipes out the rest of the world, at least to me, it disappears. And then I stop seeing and being available to that which is amazing and inspiring and nurturing and helpful. And the remedy I learned from being at the center is to do this, to take a breath and to silently say, there is a creative power that flows through me. There is an infinite potential in this creative power that is all around me. And inside of this creative power and its potential is more than one right answer and solution and response to everything. And I may not currently exactly know what that is, but there is that within me that does know. And then I breathe again. And then I learn to physically lift up my chin and look up. Take in the world around me and keep going. And inevitably, when I do that, a whole new world opens up in response to my creative use of mind. Another way that I can forget the good news is this. When I don't pay attention to my attention. Another way of saying it, when I don't watch my thinking, when I let my mind run around unsupervised, when I let my thoughts land on and attach to whatever they want to. And this is particularly problematic when my mind latches onto and focuses exclusively on the intensely bad news that is all around, all the time. And this is very easy to let happen because of the world's innate negativity bias. A bias that is so powerful, it's like herd mentality, and it blocks out everything else. And as real as the bad news is, the problem is that when it blocks out everything else, I think that it is all there is. And it's not. I remember when I was doing research for my book, Ordinary Goodness, I read about an international online newspaper, like a magazine, and the editors decided that for 1 week, they would report on exclusively good news. And the editor reported that subscriptions plummeted and said, apparently, nobody wants it. That really made an impression on me, that story. It taught me that it takes commitment to bring my awareness this way when the world wants it to go that way. It takes commitment to mindfully notice the blessings in the world as much as or even more than everything else, the negatives, because both exist. For me, an excellent method to do, to practice this, is being grateful. It's one of the cornerstone practices of our spiritual circulation. And it's effective because gratitude keeps us connected to the flow of a larger life. And it helps me to let in what is tender and beautiful and true, not to live in denial, but to live in balance, so that I can draw strength upon that which is inspiring also. So I have a habit now of regularly, with pen and paper, writing down what I appreciate. And another way that I get knocked off of my center very easily is when I take on the role of policing or managing the other adults in my life. You know? I'm not even their parent, and I'm problem-solving their lives for them. You know? And then I'm getting frustrated about their choices, or I'm feeling frustrated when I realize I cannot, or I do not know how to help them or who they should be in, you know. And the remedy I have learned is to take a breath and then to silently say to myself, my mind is a center of creative activity through which infinite ideas flow, in which solutions present themselves through paths I already know and those I am yet to discover. And so I grant all people safe passage through my mind. I release all people to their highest good, and I have trust in the seat of wisdom within me to know what to say and how to say it and when to say it, if at all to say it. Then I breathe again. And then I stay still for a moment, because now I know I am using the creative power of the universe in a beautifully creative way, and so I can get curious and excited about what will happen. There are also some practices that help me stay in tune with the good news. You know, like maintenance practices. Stay in tune with the good news. Number one, make self-care a priority, because a well-rested, well-fed, well-treated, well-exercised body promotes a clearer, more responsive mind that is more compassionate and creative. That's why. Number two, connect. I got some really good news from the internet, from the web. It's this: balance online time with in-person time. It reminded me of the importance of connecting with friends and family in real time, wherever and whenever possible. Not a text. I understand if people are far away, but where possible, in-person energetic exchange, close proximity, ask, how are you? Connect, listen, because doing so tunes me into a world that is larger than mine and makes me available to the tenderness of being. Number three, maintenance practice. Bring order into my environment where possible, into my life where possible, because doing so brings order also into my mind. It works that way. So I learned to pay attention to what in my life is begging to be tidied up. Could be my home. Could be my car. Could be my finances. Could be my diet. Whatever it is, I learned to take it in small steps, one little thing at a time, bring some order into play, just a small thing. And then I learned it. I noticed that every time I do it, I am so delighted by how much spiritual energy it generates, releases from wherever it was. How much it opens up creativity in my own mind. How much it presents new paths of possibilities. Suddenly I can see how much it increases my capacity to care. And how stronger I feel about playing my part in the world. And how much more clearer I see. Such a small thing. Such a small thing. So here is the summary of what I think I said today. I wrote it down so that I get it right. Okay, here it is. The good news is that there is a creative power in the universe that individuals can tap into to direct their lives intentionally. However, various challenges can cause one to forget this message, such as becoming fixated on negativity. Obsessing over how things should be and becoming overly involved in the lives of others. To counteract these challenges and remember the good news, here are some suggested remedies. Number one, use the creative power of your mind to shift your awareness, and instead of focusing on helplessness, also try to incorporate focus on possibilities, beauty, and potential. Number two, practice acceptance, not to get stuck, but to use the current circumstances you're in as a stepping stone upon which to stand and imagine a greater yet to be. Number three, cultivate gratitude, because being grateful for what is beautiful and joyful in life helps us to maintain a balance amidst the complexity of moving through this world. Number four, release control over others, because it's pointless. Number five, prioritize self-care because it helps maintain mental and emotional well-being. Number six, engage in productive, healthful activities because it releases energy in you and opens pathways of possibilities. And number seven, use affirmations to reinforce confidence in the guiding power of spirit within. So let's do that. Let's use affirmation for that purpose. So I invite you to breathe in. And as you exhale, to let your eyes close. And imagine these words or words similar to them are being spoken at the center of your being. I have confidence that spirit within me is guiding me and leading me into the pathways of peace. I free myself from any sense of condemnation, either against myself or others. As I breathe, I release any sense of animosity. Right now, I know that I cannot be limited by anything, not with a living spirit within me that is infinite. Every moment I realize I'm stepping into an entirely new set of experiences, and I'm open to them. Spirit, which has no limits, is flowing through my thought into my actions. I am guided by that spirit, which is intelligence, the same intelligence that scatters the moonbeams across the waves and holds the forces of nature in place. I am aware that spirit within me is making me free, creative, and wise. I affirm that my mind is well made by a perfect spirit. This causes me to have a feeling of security in my ability to shift my awareness. Consciously, then, I draw upon the energy of the Spirit within to live my life on purpose. I notice and recognize that peace is forever chanting its hymn of praise from the center of my being, helping me to notice and appreciate beauty, kindness, and connection. Today, I gently set aside everything that is related to anxiety, all striving and reaching. Just for a moment, I let it pause so that I can notice also the love that is everywhere present. This causes me to feel joy, even anticipation, excitement about stepping into life. This joy wells up, not only in my mind, but in my body, and I feel that my life is singing the same song of all life, of connection, of compassion and creativity.